What up, what up, what up, y'all? It's us, Afro Movie Review, the podcast.
Welcome back to another episode. This is season 6, episode 75.
That's oh it. God. That's it. The
75 episodes.
I feel like 75 episodes.
I don't know.
For our 100?
Oh, definitely.
We should do something. That'd be real cute. Okay, so yes, it is us, y'all. The voice you're hearing is Mo, she, her pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, Chocolate Chip Podcaster.
And I am Keeks, they, them pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, not the Chocolate Chip. I'm the favorite trans podcaster. It's almost like midnight, y'all.
So this is an intermission that we are going to appropriately name Oscars. What the fuck's up?
What the fuck's up?
And we are specifically discussing the 2023 Oscars, which would be looking at the movies and content that was produced and released in the year 2022. The reason this is coming right after Everything Everywhere All at Once is because it caused us the most questions.
And we did talk about it a little bit in the episode, but let's talk about it.
Let's get into it. So I wondered how the fuck they vote, right? So first of all, the Academy Awards is the Academy of Motion Picture Art and Sciences. And since 1929, the Oscars have recognized excellence in cinematic achievements. They have 1929. They have members of the Motion Picture Academy invited to join by their peers. Right now, there are fewer than 10,000 Oscar voters. Your face.
Because I feel like they be paying them, folks. Like, you could say that, but I feel like y'all be paying them to win.
And here's the thing. We're going to get into it. right now, there are about 9,500 members who are eligible to vote. And this is after a nearly 65% increase that was reported from the voting membership after about a total of a decade ago. And this is because there is more initiatives to invite more women, people of color, and filmmakers from around the world. So in my mind, that made me think that they were focusing on America and like Europe. As far as like voting power, who was invited to vote, that type of thing. So that makes it like, it's never a good idea. And that made it so we were never going to be hashtag your target audience, right? But then also it makes it even more so confusing and probably why Jamie Lee Curtis had the reaction that she had, why Angela Bassett had the facial reaction she had. You were my peers. You saw this movie that we did. And you voted in this way. So as much as I thought that it was like a governing board that was just like, oh, we feel bad, we're going to do it. And I thought it was like, 7 to 12 people just like, fuck it, we got power. No, it's 9,500 of y'all that did this. And they said that when they opened up voting, because it opens up online, if any one film or whatever gets over 50% in the first 24 hours of voting, they close it down. So who knows if it was just an influx of people that came in immediately and like overwhelmed it because they were like you said, pay them. Jamie Lee Curtis, we're going to pay her respects, her dues right now. And that became, it closed down before people were like, oh, we're about to vote for anything else. But
I don't know, some corruption there. Because like, what's stopping you from going to like 9,499 people and being like, vote this way. So, I can guarantee that I can,
next time, I'll
pull you as a supporting actor in my next film, or I'll pull you as, like, it's just weird.
So, April Rain comes up with hashtag Oscars So White in 2015. And it was literally a boycott of the Oscars because they felt like, I don't remember what the film was. Let's look into that.
Right. Was it Black Panther? No, the first Black Panther was like 2020.
So they said that all of the nominations went to white movies, white actors, things like that. So they said congratulations to those people. We had multiple people who should have been nominated in there. Oscars 2020 was the year that they decided to look at that. I'm trying to see what this is the time of Black Lives Matters, but this is also they had Get Out, Black Panther, Coco, and Crazy Rich Asians.
Okay, I thought Black Panther was out. Okay.
Yeah. So this
Get Out was a good ass movie.
And Get Out was a good movie. They had a total of 13 winners who were people of culture who took awards home. And that definitely felt like it was a disappointment. There was only one performer of color who was nominated for things like, okay, so Cynthia Erivo was nominated for Harriet. Female directors, we had Greta Gerwig for Little Women, Laureen Scafaria for Hustlers, and Lulu Wang for The Farewell. They were completely left out. Yes.
I love Lulu Wang.
They literally said that this three-word hashtag Oscars so white was so insular that it caused a $42 billion industry to change its course. And we have seen, like we said, an increase on who is in the vote.
$42 billion.
$42 billion industry. So these are people on January 15th was the 87th annual Academy Awards doing, you know, their announcements or whatever. And they had multiple people who came out and said, as soon as they saw the nominations, their heart just sank. So we have people, Cheryl Boone Isaacs, who was the president of the Academy from 2013 to 2017. April Rain, Dawn Hudson, who was chief executive of the Academy. She said, I have a very good idea of what's coming next. Franklin Leonard, who was the founder of Blacklist, which is a platform for unproduced screenplays, just was like, this is wild. Spike Lee, Barry Jenkins, the director of Moonlight, Ava DuVernay. She said, we've seen this for a long, long, long time. This is not new. So
then we know how they vote. How do they nominate?
So nominations come with, they have a standards that, and they have a whole website. So you have to see and meet the standard for these things. But then after that, once it's nomination and it passes all of that, they limit it to who got the most like
points or something.
Yeah, like, to be put into the category.
I don't like this day.
Yeah. So. And at the time in 2015, when this was going on, they said that at the time the membership was 94% white and 77% male.
Ew.
Yeah. So let's get into this bullshit.
So we have actor in a leading role. Nominations for that is Brendan Fraser in The Whale, Austin Butler in Elvis, Colin Farrell in The Banshees of Inisherin, Paul Mescal in Aftersun, and Bill Nighy from Living. The winner was Brendan Fraser. I have feelings about that because he won for being in a fat suit.
That's it?
And like, okay, and I get it because like he was sexually assaulted and then he was kicked out and this was like
his... He was blacklisted, you know? And this was his comeback.
And I get like y'all want to sit there and support him and be like, oh, okay, we welcome you back. We understand what you went through. But in a fucking fat suit. Like,
and it was also because young Brendan Fraser was a sex symbol. And in his time of not working, he had gained weight. He wasn't the same young man. Duh, because he aged. But he also, I feel like, there was something that he said he wasn't going to attend because he felt like he was going to win and he didn't feel like he should have been winning for being in a fat suit. So, you know.
And honestly, I didn't see the movie, but I think at the end of that movie, he kills himself. I think that's how the movie ends. Because I remember like fat advocates, activists on Twitter was talking about it and they was like, what the fuck is this shit? So wow. That was really weird. So. But why wasn't like
Michelle Yeoh?
Look, Michelle Yeoh. I was like, Michelle Yeoh was right there. She was really good.
Why wasn't Angela Bassett nominated?
Why? Like,
that's
ask her in a leading role.
Come on now.
I ain't even heard of Living or Aftersun.
I haven't heard of Banshees of Inisherin.
Never. Until I pulled this up.
I know. Okay.
Then we have actors in a supporting role. We have for nominations, Ki Hue Kwan, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Brandon Gleeson, The Banshees of Inisherin. Was that nigga Justin? Okay, it was a different nigga. Brian Tyree Henry from Causeway, Jude Hirsch from The Fablesman, Barry Keoghan from Banshees of Inisherin. Winner was Ki Hue Kwan. I don't think you should have two people from the same movie.
I was just going to say.
That just does not seem fair. Get somebody else. You either pick who's the best out of them two and nominate that one person. That's not fair.
Yeah. And the fact that this is male actors in the supporting role. So that, okay, fine. For the other movies that weren't nominated, We talked about the greatness of The Farewell that wasn't mentioned at all. Oh my
God, that was a good movie.
So, I mean, okay. Okay.
It's annoying.
This is where shit gets wild. Actress in the lead role. We have the nominees Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Kate Blanchett for Tar, Ana de Armas for Blonde, Andrea Riseborough for To Leslie, and Michelle Williams for The Fabelmans. The winner is Michelle Yeoh. For lead.
I haven't heard from none of them other movies I have heard of.
Didn't know about any of them.
I don't even remember like marketing for them at that.
I don't. And if we're allowed to put two people from the same movie in the same category, then why was Stephanie Hsu not put an actress in a lead role?
Because she definitely was a lead.
She definitely was a lead. And she played multiple, like just like everybody else, she played multiple roles. And this is where she does come up because she is an actress in a supporting role as a nominee. We have Jamie Lee Curtis for Everything Everywhere All at Once, Angela Bassett for Black Panther Wakanda Forever, Hong Chau for The Whale, Carrie Condon for The Banshees of Inisherin, and Stephanie Hsu for Everything Everywhere All at Once. The winner was Jamie Lee Curtis. We talked about that.
Facially, why do y'all keep on nominating folks from The Banshees of Inisherin?
What the fuck is this movie?
They are in every category. If you notice, Everything Everywhere All at Once is in all of them except one, but like they are consistently in every category. And it's like, does somebody pay you? Oh, okay. They're not in the actress in a leading role, but still, it's weird.
That's wild. I'm going to look up what the synopsis is for The Banshees of Inisherin, because even the name of it is like, what the fuck are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And is it because of Colin Farrell? Because whatever. Possibly. Two lifelong friends find themselves at an impasse when one abruptly ends their relationship with alarming consequences for them both. This is the same thing as Lady Bird, as what was the timepiece one? With the best friend.
With the gay, yes.
The sapphic vibes. Get out of here. Y'all want to see yourself so badly. This shit does not even get out of here. But again, I think that the disappointment and the facial expressions that we were able to read when it happened was the shock and surprise that my peers saw this movie and thought Jamie Lee Curtis, she played multiple roles, yeah, but she has played the fuck out of other roles before this. This was not her time to win this award. Angela Bassett in the movie of Wakanda Forever says, "I've lost my son. What else do you want from me?" When she lost this specific award, I kind of felt like that. I have given this industry everything. What else do you want from me?
Angela Bassett is a legend in the
living legend.
Like, and I didn't see, I need time still to see the movie.
I did not want to see Black Panther without Chadwick Boseman. So I still have not seen that movie because his passing impacted me in a very serious way. And I still am not prepared to see the movie without him. And then I heard that we got like that Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, all that strong shit got beat by some aquatic niggas. I'm wild. Wow, that's crazy. Them aquatic niggas, they got legs. They can fight on land. What's happening?
Like, what's going on?
What's happening here? So I haven't seen it yet. But what I know is that Angela Bassett deserved. She deserved for Tina Turner. She deserved for her portrayal of in Malcolm X. Vampire in Brooklyn. Bitch, kiss my ass. She has done a lot. And if you were going to give somebody the nod that they needed in real time, this would have been the time. But you gave it to Jamie Lee Curtis for crying, for being the only white woman in the movie, and for being like, what character development did she even have other from being some cold-hearted IRS bitch to all of a sudden being like, yeah, I went through divorce too. Who gives a fuck?
And honestly, when I saw her character, I was like, oh, it's a less boring Roz. I mean, it's a more boring Roz. You know the
Roz?
Secretary from Monsters, Inc.
Uh-huh!
I was like, oh, you're just a boring white
version. It's the same,
of her.
The glasses and the haircut and everything.
But again, like, where's your face?
Dog, that's funny as shit.
Okay. We have cinematography.
Yeah, because we can skip animated feature film, even though we can okay. say that the winner of that was Guillermo del Toro for Pinocchio. And we know that man is going to give you something visual when it comes to a feature film. I haven't seen that Pinocchio, but the other Same. Nominees are Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. And when I tell you when that dropped in like 2011 as a YouTube clip, it changed my world. I haven't watched the movie yet because I heard that grown people were sobbing.
I don't even know what that's about. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, movie, please watch the Marcel only the movie. Shell with Shoes On, the short on YouTube.
Well, the only movie I've seen out of that category was Turning Red.
The only one I've seen is Turning Red. And the fact that Turning Red didn't get it, okay. But it's probably because Guillermo del Toro, when it comes to animation, when it comes to visual, how it's, the man is a beast. So you cannot. Real. Not, you know?
Okay.
Ooh. Okay, so let's get to cinematography.
Cinematography nominations are All Quiet on the Western Front. We have, by James Friend, sorry, because it's cinematography, I gotta say his name. Bardo, False Chronicles of a Handful of Truths by Darius Kanji. Elvis, Mandy Walker, Empire of Light by Roger Deakins, and Tar by Florian Hofmeister. And the winner was All Quiet on the Western Front by James Friend.
I haven't seen any of them, but Bardo's False Chronicle of a Handful of Truth sounds like it could be interesting.
I don't think Elvis should have been in there. I don't think Elvis should have had a movie. I think y'all should let Elvis go. Please, let that man rest in...
And if we're not
going
to talk about him stealing from Black artists, what are we talking about? We've seen his story so many times!
Like, why do y'all keep remaking? It's the same way I feel about Willy Wonka and how y'all keep remaking that. Gene Wilder did the damn thing. Let that man rest in peace.
And Timothy Chalamet, Timothy Champagne, Timothy... I get that the young man works. We've talked about him, right?
Yeah.
He needs to do that.
I'm like, why? Stop with the remakes.
Just stop.
Anyway, then we have costume design. So the nominations were Babylon, Mary Zofris, Elvis, Catherine Martin, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Shirley Carrada, Miss Harris Goes to Paris, Jenny Beavman, and then Black Panther, Wakanda Forever with Ruth Carter, and she was the winner.
And shout out to Ruth E. Carter. She did.
Okay.
Ruth E. Carter won for Black Panther Wakanda Forever, but Ruth E. Carter is also the costume designer that has impacted television as far as Black America since like the 80s. Major things.
Can you imagine winning for not only the original, but the sequel?
Baby.
Badass.
Back to back. Then we have directing. Nominees were The Daniels for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Martin McDonagh for The Banshees of Inisherin, Steven Spielberg for The Fablemans, Todd Field for Tar, and Ruben Östlund for Triangle of Sadness. The Daniels won in directing. I have not seen any of the other movies, but I can say good on them for beating out Steven Spielberg.
I was about to say, I didn't even know he had a movie out then. So
And watch The Fablemans be some fucking middle class America white shit where they're having like low lighting dinner parties and talking about divorce and like regular shit. Bitch, get out of here.
Like what?
The next category was documentary feature film, which we don't have to talk about, or documentary short film. But there are some very interesting things in there that I had never even heard of. So let's go to the next category.
Sorry. It said, how do you measure a year? And my theater mind was like, in love.
In love. You are so cute.
Oh my gosh. Anyway. Wait, I thought, are you going to do film?
No, you can do film editing.
Okay. We'll do film editing. Nominations are The Banshees of Inisherin, Mikael E.G. Nelson, we have Tar, Monica Willey, we have Everything Everywhere All at Once with Paul Rogers, we have Elvis with Matt Villa and Jonathan Redman, and then we have Top Gun Maverick with Eddie Hamilton, and the winner was Everything Everywhere All the Time. So
all the time.
Look, when she said you experience it all the time, I said, girl, I know that's overwhelming.
It's like schizophrenia.
I would have said schizophrenics are not violent. I did not expect you to say that. That's why. No, because I was really going to just say I would stab someone if I had to live multiple realities at the same time.
No, I'm not saying it.
But like when you said it's, I don't want to try to perceive it that way. Like, these are two separate thoughts.
To me, very much. Because I did not associate the violence with it at all. And had I heard you, we may not have done that. So they also have international feature film, which is very cool. We're going to get into makeup and hairstyling. We have the winner was actually The Whale, Adrian Marat, Judy Chen, and Anne Marie Bradley, which you won for putting him in a fat suit.
And that's is it that you made it blend so well?
Or was he sweaty? Was he oily hair? What's happening with the fat suit? And what assumptions did you do in makeup and hairstyling to fit that? Fuck you.
And maybe I shouldn't say because they don't decide if he's in a fat suit. They're just doing their job. I'm gonna say boo, but
I don't know,
have ethics. My thing is also you can say no to a job if you're a makeup or hairstylist.
We talked about how with the strike, there were multiple people in the industry who were getting hit, and makeup and hairstyle was one of the ones that when they got hit, they didn't have they don't have a union. Remember, mm-hmm. So they really were out there fending for themselves. So in the same, I'll take it back. If you were, because the story calls for this person to be in a fat suit and you had to do makeup and hairstyling to fit what they needed to depict on that, I guess, shout out to you for being able to depict that. But I also know that there was a lot of fat phobic thought process that had to go into what you were able to do because this person was in a fat suit and not just choosing a fat person.
Right. And I can't imagine conversations with makeup and hairstyling and touching
around the fucking table talking about what needed to happen to be a depicted, you know,
We need you bigger.
Do bigger. We need, whatever. But the nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, Heike Mercer and Linda Eisenhamerova. The Batman, Naomi Dawn, Mike Marino and Mike Fontaine, Black Panther for Wakanda Forever, Camille Friend and Joel Harlow, and Elvis, Mark Collier, Jason Baird, and Aldo Signoretti.
Was that the Jerry Leto Batman? No.
I was wondering.
That's the most recent Batman I know.
That's when that nigga went up to the Bronx and was fucking doing that dance down the stairs and had all them white people acting like tourists in the fucking Bronx.
He's a weirdo. I ain't even like creep weirdo. Like a good weirdo, I think. Like, he has sexual assault allegations against him. But they can
30 seconds to Mars?
Yeah. Well, no, I tell you, I used to love them as a young teen alt.
Oh my god.
But and then he also has a cult. He don't want to say it's a cult, but they be going on retreats and shit, and he'd be like, "Oh, I'm God," and stuff. He don't say it like that, but he be all
that's
like
culty.
He be that's spread out like that with wearing white with his little long hair, and I'm like, okay, nah. This is giving high control groups. So
okay. So
I'm gonna have to research that though, because I'm like, what Batman?
Yeah, for sure. Then we have music, the original score. We have the nominees are Babylon, Justin Hurwitz, The Banshee of Inisherin, Carter Burrell, Sun Locks for Everything Everywhere All at Once, John Williams for The Fablemans, and the winner is Volker Bertelmann for All Quiet on the Western Front. I can imagine Western music being fun. The music all throughout Everything Everywhere All at Once match the emotions very well. Sunlocks, yes. I hope that you get awarded up very soon and that you are on a only upward progression, because it was awesome.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Then we have, we had the music original song, but I'm going to skip to Best Picture.
Okay, because the winner was Natu Natu.
And I've never heard of that song.
I've never
and
heard
I'm like,
of it.
Oh, if you're the best song from...
And it's from RRR. What? I don't know what that is. So anyway,
Best Picture, we had nominations All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water. Now, why the hell? The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, The Fablemans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, Women Talking, and Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Why the fuck did this have so many nominations and the other ones didn't have this many?
Why the fuck was Avatar in this shit and that shit was ass? Like, that's all they talked about. I have to stop myself.
We haven't seen Avatar in anything else, actually.
But, that's all when it came out, that's all people on social media was talking about. This shit is ass. bitch, how the hell did you get nominated?
You're best picture? You guys are lying. You're lying.
Why would you even be in this category? Where is fucking Black Panther.
Come on now.
Like, you could have switched him out.
Multiple times.
Elvis, why is Elvis here?
Why are we here? And what the fuck is Tar, and why does it have an accent over the A?
T-R.
Tar. What is this?
Oh my gosh. Do you want to go?
I guess, okay, so we have production design, we have short film animated, short film live action. Sound, we have not even nominated was Everything Everywhere All at Once, nor was Wakanda Forever. And I can imagine if we are underwater, warring, and on land, we in the sky, that's a lot of sound happening. But do you know what right. was in there? Top Gun Maverick, All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar The Way of the Water, The Batman and Elvis. The winner was Top Gun Maverick, which is, you know, white people in America and the love for fighter jets and shit.
I'm like, please don't piss me off because Elvis is just Elvis music. Like, bitch, what sound? You literally
the
took music.
Of the guitar. I could hear the pick when he touched it. Girl, go to hell.
Please. Gasoline draws.
Please. Visual effects again. How is Everything Everywhere All at Once not even nominated? But we have Avatar The Way of the Water, which was the winner. Let's start with that.
Over
bullshit.
Black Panther, which
Over
I know.
Black Panther.
I know it, and I ain't even seen it. So, like, what is we doing?
Come on. We also had All Quiet on the Western Front, The Batman, and Top Gun Maverick. Y'all are very fucking annoying. I'm not gonna lie.
That's probably why y'all got boycotted. I ain't even watched the Oscars in I don't know how long. Even
That's
before
exactly
the Oscars,
it.
So white, I wait until the next day, and I see who won, and I see the clips,
and I see the outfits, beautiful gowns,
like beautiful. And
I'm not doing this with y'all,
right?
And then the last categories we have are writing an adapted screenplay, which of course we wouldn't have been included in that one, I don't think. An adapted screenplay, no. But the winner was Women Talking. They were surprised that women talk. Apparently. But as far as writing for the original screenplay, we had nominees The Banshee of Inisherin, written by Martin McDonagh, The Fabelmans, written by Steven Spielberg and Tony Kushner, Tar, written by Todd Field, Triangle of Sadness, written by Ruben Ostlund, and Everything All Everywhere All at Once, written by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. And they were the winners because they deserved. Now, did Everything Everywhere All at Once sweep the Oscars? Absolutely. I still am in the opinion of them. They not even did they just shit like on people. They slapped them after spitting in the face. Like, it was just very disrespectful how they did this. Some of these categories are fucking almost 8-10 movies. Like, why couldn't we have as many? Why is it 5 for some of the other ones? And those, yeah. You know, so
best picture is like 10, and it's like, why?
Calm down. But it's just like, okay, so to become an Academy member, candidates have to be sponsored by 2 existing members of the candidates, branch, right? So for you to come in, when you are a new SAG card member, actor, whatever, that first year, you're automatically put in. Like, they automatically, like, yeah, come on. But I don't know if you have any voting rights, which is why there's a difference between Oscar members and Oscar voters.
Ooh, okay.
So there are, you know, there's some, I just feel like, okay, so Stephanie Hsu, when did she become a SAG member? When was she able to vote? Would you, because there are certain people who have just declined. I don't want to vote. I don't want
right.
to.
Right. And it's Screen Actors. Mm-hmm. No, Guild. So
Screen Actors Guild.
So SAG. She probably, this was her first like, on screen film, though, like on screen film, because she was Broadway girl. She was like,
she was a Broadway girl,
formally trained. She was the path of the greats. They started in Broadway.
Yeah, and that's like, and we know that. And she's not even giving us no drama. We haven't heard nothing about her background. We've only seen good things from her. So again, we hope that she's on the rise only. But this, we had to question what was happening at the Academy Awards, specifically with the Oscars, because we needed to understand how for so long, so many movies that would be later called cult classics or whatever, how did mm-hmm. they get missed, right? So we should do a season where we don't necessarily, not, I'm sorry, not a season. We should do a couple of intermissions where we just pick some of our favorite movies that were maybe cult classics, and then go through what the nominations were for the year as far as the Oscars, and if they were mentioned, what movies were mentioned. Because part of the reason that we even did this podcast is to really delve into and analyze, was the movie good or was it just widely popular? And when we say widely popular, read white.
Or was it nostalgia? Because that's what it seems like Elvis was in that category for. Nostalgia. Because that ain't the first movie about him.
It's not. And maybe because they found somebody else who could depict facially what they wanted to give. But like, let that man go. If you really want that facial structure back, start fucking white people again. Like, what the fuck? You
buckle
fat. But like, my whole thing is, somebody tweeted, and the reason that I said that, like, start fucking white people again, is not because I'm like some horrible racist person, because number one, I can't be, but number two, like, my discrimination doesn't go that far, right? It is in jokes and in jest, but the reason I said that
you
is
because you lose no job.
Like, I'm not, nigga, the fuck.
Well, they won't from you being.
I'm not gonna lose my job from them being, and they not. I would hope that, because on the other side, you know, dark skin presenting person, colorism is real in this world, right? But they, right. I had seen a tweet that said, "Why did we not see more light skin, like biracial people in the 50s? Like, bitch, Virginia versus Loving,
we couldn't start." Right, they couldn't just be doing that.
It's like 72, bitch. Y'all are brand new to everybody.
I was gonna say 67, but something that don't make like sense. That.
It's probably 67, but then y'all turned around and became the most popular thing, and so now everything is like shifted towards that. But like,
unfortunately.
You know, so we thought about this, and why is it that now, with there being more quote unquote diversity and inclusion and equity or whatever, are we seeing only light skinned people? Why? What is this? There used to be more dark skinned actors, because there used to be the standard of black was this or like whatever. So have you seen Hoochie Got going back and forth with that white Cajun woman from New Orleans? She's from Louisiana. Oh, she's from South Louisiana.
I saw that, like how everything started, I think. Like, I saw the TikTok, and then she showed her parents, and I was like, that's a white woman.
So things like that, where it's like...
And honestly, even before she showed her parents, I was like, this is a white woman.
And
then
I saw a tweet that said, this is how Rachel Dolezal was able to get away with so much. Because legit, there are black people who are arguing the validity of this passing. She is a white woman. Now, if she has the one drop rule or whatever, and Hoochie Got breaks it down so well on her video, where she was like, Louis, number one, you're asking a government who only valued white people to define whether or not you were black or white. Louisiana right. at the time had a law where if you had even a drop of blood, if you were 1/16th black, you had to be identified as black.
And like, that's the, I'm tired of the one drop rule. Like, nigga, what?
Because as much as this woman's like, well, I was socialized black out. Everybody knows my family things. Just because the socialization of your area treated you as other does not mean that you are a black woman and having the same black experiences as other people. Are we a monolith? No. Are we able to be as fair as that woman is? Abso-fucking-lutely. You, my dear, are not a black woman in my eyes. I can understand that you are a Cajun woman.
And that's my thing.
And that's different.
Race, ethnicity, nationality, be whooping y'all ass. Stay out of black folks' business. Because we are, our race and our ethnicity are the same here in America. We are black ethnically and we are black racially. She is a white Creole woman.
And there's differences in that. And it's okay for it to be different. Right. And she's damn, she is going off and crying and baby, I'm stacked. And like, ain't nobody saying that you're not. Nobody, and ain't nobody saying that you don't look
ain't
good.
Ain't nobody
age,
denying your Creole-ness, but baby, you is not, you're not
But
black.
You don't have to come out here saying that you're a black woman or that you get treated as though you're a black woman, because if you leave Southern Louisiana outside, if she was able to leave Southern Louisiana and leave the accent in Southern Louisiana, would she be treated as though she was a Cajun woman from Southern Louisiana? Probably not. She might be treated as though she was a white woman, whereas you multiple obviously black people, doesn't matter what accent I present, when I walk into a room I am visibly black. I am treated as though I am visibly black, and not only am I visibly black, I am a dark-skinned black woman with 4C hair. There's a lot different in how I'm going to be treated,
and
right?
We're fat, like,
and we're bigger bodies, so like, get the fuck out of here. So this is the reason why, for this podcast, the Academy Awards has been around since 1929, and until about a decade ago, when people started calling it out about it, it was 97% white and 77% male. That's crazy. And we've talked about the fact that our podcast, even in our lane, the critics, white, male, cishet, 78%.
Right. Is very, very low percentage for people of color, for women, and for women who are people of color.
The intersectionality of that is something that the Academy Awards missed for so long, which is why it's not hard to get to the fact that they missed out on beautiful movies, beautiful productions, beautiful soundtracks, beautiful costume and set design and all of these things. So,
and it's fucking y'all up because y'all want to cater to an audience like the Magical Negro film.
Oh my God.
Like that shit tanked, and as it should, because what are you doing?
Because even though this is a black film, it's for white audiences, and instead of making that adjustment to try to get the
account, black story.
Ooh,
say look, because I don't know who's the film.
It's not for us, right? It's not for us. You didn't even really have that in mind for the black people of the diaspora, but specifically the black people who live in America who are living under this. Why the fuck would we be trying to be magical Negroes for these white folks?
And my thing is, that one and the Green Mile, y'all could have spun that the so green book? Beautifully. The Green Book, there you go. Mm-hmm. Y'all could have spun that so beautifully. Like the Green Book, you could have had something about like African Americans and like how that started and like how we can like... Because
it's based off of a real...
Real life thing. And then the Magical Negro, you could have had a society where, I don't know, like... I don't got it in me right now, but like, not that. That was bothering. Like, why did they have to? Maybe they have like a society where they just quit and they're just like, and you got to figure out like, oh, what's gonna happen? What are we gonna do now that we don't have our Magical Negroes? Like, maybe that could have been a thing, or maybe they could have like, I don't know, like. Anything was something better than that.
Put some effort into it, because it seems like it's lazy. And since 1929, it's been lazy. And now you have all of these wonderful films. I didn't even hear about The Farewell until we did research for this season, because it wasn't, maybe I missed it advertisement-wise, but because it was completely ignored during award season, you don't even give people their fucking dues. This is part of the reason why I only knew Awkwafina for her black scent and for all the other fucked up shit and not for her acting ability until I saw Crazy Rich Asians, which also was not in there.
Of Awkwafina. And that's my thing. Like, maybe if you marketed The Farewell, because I honestly think also because it's a small, this is a small independent studio, A24. So maybe that is also why, maybe, I don't know, maybe your marketing's not good. I'm trying to remember of all the movies in the season.
Well, with A24, they had Uncut Gems 2019, which we talked about was big once the pandemic happened. And that was because distribution was on Netflix, right?
Right.
Everybody was at home. We were watching. 2022, everybody's back outside. It had plenty of advertisement. PR was on point. They were running around doing things. What the fuck's up?
Because honestly, and I'm looking at it, I remember Spring Break's advertisement.
Come on now.
And that's it. That's literally it. Maybe Ex Machina. And that was literally 2012, 2014. And that was their early days. I haven't seen any, I don't remember the marketing for any of these other ones except Everything Everywhere Else.
I don't remember marketing for anything except I think I remember seeing Ex Machina. I definitely remember The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Talk to Me, and I think Talk to Me, I don't remember advertising, but I remember Twitter being ablaze about it. Okay. So.
And see, that's the thing too. Like, you have to let word of mouth still works so well, because honestly, the timeline on Twitter tells you, and like, that's why I go back and glance at it every now and again, because it is a good place for information.
It keeps you updated. Like, the way that you curate your timeline definitely will keep you updated on world news, on things. Yeah.
Before anybody else. But like, honestly, that's how I knew not to watch Magical Negro. I knew not to watch Avatar. They was like, it's ass. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay money.
You ain't got to watch.
I don't like to watch movies. I'm not going to sit here for 2 hours and be like, damn, this shit sucked. Let me talk about how this shit sucked. Like, no, I'm going
to
save my time.
I love to watch movies, but I don't like watching movies that I think I'm going into dislike. I don't watch Tyler Perry films anymore, because I go in feeling like I'm going to dislike them. Why would I set myself up like that? But when I watch some of these other movies, I am pleasantly surprised. It's part of the reason we did the podcast. We like it. We like watching movies if they're good. And also, we wanted to judge y'all fucking what the fuck had been going on that far. So we wanted to judge y'all. Part of it was like, yeah, we like movies, but we love judging y'all.
That, so, and honestly, some of these are surprisingly good. And I'm just like, huh, I don't know how I missed that train, but I'm glad I'm on it now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So we'll do more intermissions where we think about the movies that we liked from the year or whatever, something that we felt maybe should have won. We'll look into it. If it didn't, we'll do an episode where we just talk about how the Oscars has always been not for us. And even now with it being more DEI focused, there's not much inclusion.
Is it more? I feel like everybody's rolling back on the DEI, so it might they not are. Even be that. So
they said Black Lives Mattered.
Stop it.
All right, y'all. So this is so this is intermission part one. Because the episode gets long because we talk how we do. We wanted to break down the Academy Awards and the Oscars and all of that. Be right back. You're gonna see. It's gonna be episode 76. Bye.
See you soon.